Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Money Problem: Rethinking Financial Regulation by Morgan Ricks is a work of financial law and policy that re-examines how modern monetary systems are organized and regulated. Rather than treating crises mainly as the result of excessive leverage, asset bubbles, or broad systemic risk, Ricks argues that the deepest vulnerability lies in the design of short-term debt and the way private institutions create money like liabilities. The book presents a policy blueprint for making the financial system more stable by sharply restricting runnable short-term debt outside the banking system while publicly insuring such liabilities inside it. It is aimed at readers who want a structural account of financial instability and a practical alternative to the highly technical regulatory framework that followed the 2008. The result is both an argument about money creation and a proposal for simplifying financial regulation without abandoning private credit allocation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, financial instability as a problem of money creation, not just leverage. Ricks reframes the core issue in financial regulation by arguing that instability comes primarily from the monetary system itself. In his view, the most dangerous episodes occur when large numbers of short-term creditors lose confidence and rush to redeem claims that function like money. That means the central policy problem is not simply whether institutions take too much risk in a generic sense, but whether the system allows fragile money-like liabilities to proliferate outside a controlled framework. This is a major shift from narratives that focus mainly on capital ratios, bubbles, or broad systemic risk. By placing money creation at the center, the book connects banking law, payments, and crisis prevention in a more unified way. The argument also explains why standard post-crisis reforms can seem indirect. They often regulate symptoms of fragility rather than the structure that creates runnable liabilities. In the first place, this conceptual move is what gives the book its distinctiveness within financial regulation debates. Secondly, the case for banning runnable liabilities outside the banking system. A central proposal in the book is a bifurcated financial structure. Only regulated banks would be allowed to issue liquid liabilities that can function as money, while non-bank financial firms would be prohibited from issuing runnable short-term debt. Ricks sees this as the cleanest way to stop shadow banking, which he treats as a large and underregulated source of monetary fragility. The reasoning is straightforward: if institutions can create money substitutes without a banking charter, they can replicate the social role of deposits without accepting the associated constraints and oversight. In that setting, panics become likely because holders of these claims expect immediate liquidity, but are exposed to sudden loss of confidence. The proposal is deliberately structural rather than incremental in the usual regulatory sense. Instead of adding layers of supervision to every institution, it assigns a specific monetary privilege to banks and removes that privilege from others. That narrower allocation of money creation is meant to make the system more legible and less dependent on constantly expanding ad hoc controls. Thirdly, public insurance for bank liabilities paired with lighter rules for securities firms. Ricks does not argue for turning all finance into banking or for eliminating private credit markets. Instead, he proposes a trade-off: if banks are the authorized issuers of runnable liabilities, then those liabilities should be publicly insured, while many other forms of financial intermediation can be regulated more lightly. This is an important part of the book because it distinguishes his approach from narrow banking or full reserve banking, which would sharply limit banks' ability to create credit. Ricks instead wants to preserve credit allocation within the private banking sector while reducing the run risk that destabilizes the system. At the same time, once securities firms and other non-banks are barred from issuing money-like claims, many of their current regulatory burdens could be reduced. The design aims to separate monetary safety from broader financial innovation banks would carry the special burden of providing safe liquid liabilities, and non-banks would be freer to engage in market activity without pretending to be money creators. The result is a more divided, but also more coherent regulatory architecture. Fourthly, why the book criticizes the complexity of post-crisis financial regulation. Another major theme is the claim that current regulation has become excessively complex and difficult to administer. Ricks presents the existing regime as a maze of rules that tries to manage fragility indirectly through capital standards, liquidity rules, supervision, and emergency interventions. His critique is not simply that the system is burdensome, it is that complexity can obscure the real mechanism of instability. If the problem is runnable short-term debt, then constantly refining dozens of technical rules may do less than a direct restriction on the creation of that debt. This is why the book is often described as pragmatic, despite its boldness. Its ambition is not to replace private finance with a radically different economic system, but to simplify the regulatory agenda by addressing the source of panic itself. That simplicity is also political and institutional. A more focused framework could be easier to explain, enforce, and sustain over time. The book therefore treats regulatory complexity as a weakness of modern reform and uses clarity as a policy virtue, not just an academic preference. Lastly, a conservative blueprint for modernizing money and banking without abolishing credit markets. The book stands out because it combines structural ambition with a relatively conservative endpoint. Ricks does not call for ending private banking, abolishing credit markets, or moving to a fully state-run allocation of capital. Instead, he argues for restoring money issuance as a licensed privilege and then leaving most credit decisions to private institutions. That makes the book more moderate than it may first appear, even though its shadow banking proposal is strong. The practical significance is that it aims for incremental reform within the existing U.S. framework rather than a complete institutional overhaul. This is one reason the book has attracted attention from lawyers, policymakers, and central banking commentators. It offers a way to think about crisis prevention that is more direct than typical post-2008 reform debates. The blueprint also helps clarify the relationship between public authority and private finance. The state controls the core monetary function, while markets continue to perform much of the lending and investment work. This separation is the book's main design principle and its most enduring policy contribution. In conclusion, The Money Problem is best suited for readers interested in financial regulation, banking law, central banking, and the institutional roots of economic crises. Policymakers, regulators, lawyers, economists, and financially informed general readers will gain the most from it, especially if they want a serious alternative to the conventional post-2008 focus on capital requirements, stress tests, and systemic risk management. Its practical value lies in forcing readers to reconsider whether financial instability is best addressed by more detailed oversight or by redesigning the rules around money like liabilities themselves. Intellectually, the book is valuable because it unifies monetary theory, bank regulation, and crisis policy in a single framework. What makes it stand out from many books in this genre is its combination of clarity and restraint. It is not a sweeping anti-market manifesto, nor is it a purely academic critique. Instead, it offers a concrete institutional blueprint with a sharply defined target. Readers who want a concise but ambitious argument about how modern money works, why panics occur, and what regulators might do differently will find it especially useful. If you would like to support Morgan Ricks, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.